Good to be together. I guess just a few of that, just to check in. I wanted to thank Marty again for all his work on the garage sale and everybody else that was a part of that. If you still want some huge speakers for your house, you can like blow your walls off, for just $1,000, we'll give you a great system. But there's still some stuff if anybody still want some, but we're selling that. That I thought that was great. It was great to just make that happen. And as you guys may know, we're investing in some new sound equipment. I thought it sounded fantastic. It's good to have a nice full band and to worship together. So thank you all for all your work you've been putting into that. Blaze and Josh and others who have been figuring out what that needs to look like and how to make that happen. That stuff's way beyond me. I could maybe figure out how an acoustic guitar works, but I really appreciate all that work. And just as a shout out, I think I've been thinking, for those of you at home, especially kids, we care about you guys. We hope to open Sunday school again. But as it is, it hasn't seemed feasible yet. But those of you at home with kids, we love you guys, even if you're not here, and appreciate you. You're an important part of us. And so thank you for tuning in at home, and thank you guys for being here this morning. So my name is Dove, and I'm one of the pastors here. And so I want to just start with a little analogy this morning. I want you to imagine, I don't know, your favorite musical artist, or maybe your favorite sports team, or maybe your favorite scholar or thinker or blogger or somebody that you appreciate. And I want you to imagine that for whatever reason, you really, really want to be on their bus as they're touring. And so you have an opportunity in your mind to be on the bus, and so you're thinking of some creative ways. How could I get on this bus to be with this group or with this person, to spend time with them, to enjoy them? And so maybe you could make friends with the bouncers, and maybe Giuseppe would give you an in to kind of get on the bus, and you could say the right things, and or maybe you could sneak on, a little incognito, blend in and be a part of on the bus. Maybe you could learn how to be a really amazing bus driver, or maybe a private jet driver, flyer, pilot, what's the word? Person who flies the jet, and hope that they would sign you on and you could be with them. Or maybe there's a one-time deal that says just for a couple thousand, you could buy a ticket to get on and be on the bus and go with them. So I don't know which one do you think sounds easier, but not that people have a couple few thousand floating around. I think you can get backstage passes with Justin Bieber for not too many thousand. So it is possible, but I think that would be a much more feasible option. And the amazing thing is, I'm going to use that analogy with God. And those of you that are theologians are going to be like, this analogy is so full of holes, and I would love to talk about that with you. It is not the best analogy. But the amazing thing is, God is way cooler than your artist, than your team, then your scholar, no offense to them. But you have been invited to spend time and to go with Jesus, to go where he is going, to be on his bus, to, as I really like the phrase the Bible uses, to walk with God. You have been invited to walk with God, to go on the journey where God is going, and to be with him. and enjoy him and know him and be known, to have conversations, to have an insight to his mind. And Jesus has paid that ticket for you. Jesus has paid that ticket, and he's given you the backstage pass. He's given you the bus pass. All you got to do is accept it. And from that place comes this amazing journey of walking with God. And I've been on that journey for a little over 20 years now, and it's the best thing in my life, hands down. My relationship with God is better than anything else in my entire life. And sometimes it seems too good to be true. Sometimes I get busy and I just totally neglect God. But I get to walk with God. And most of you have entered that journey. Most of you have received that gift from Christ that says, you are now on the bus. You are now part of the group. You're part of God's kingdom. And we get to walk together in that journey. And so this morning I stand before you not as an expert, but just as one who is on that journey with you. And one who God has given a heart to really desire to shepherd, to desire to help other people in that journey. And from the depths of my heart, I want you to continue in that walk with God and to know him more and more and fall in love with him more and more and to know him and be known by him. And so this morning, I'm going to just talk about what that looks like with the rhythms of life that God has already put into place. And what that could look like for our own lives. It's a lot of questions today. A few of those questions I'm going to answer. And some of those questions, I just want them to kind of sit with you and see where God would take those. What would God want to do with that? And so some of you are probably further along in that journey than me, and that's okay. And some of you are just starting that journey. And welcome. That's a beautiful place. So let's pray and dig into this. Father God, thank you that you have opened the door for us. Thank you, Jesus, for the incredible price you paid, a price worth way more than gold, that you paid a high price that I could be with God. Thank you that I get to be with you, that I get to know you and grow with you. Thank you that you know me and love me even when I'm ashamed of myself, even when the things inside of me seem so pathetic. Thank you that you love me so deeply. Thank you that you never push me away. Thank you that you never hide from me or don't admit you know me. Thank you, God, for this adventure. God, I ask you to grow us as we walk with you, to treasure you and to go where you're going and to love what you love and to speak what you want to speak. Have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so some of the rhythms. Did everybody get a handout? And those of you that are at home, if you want to download the handout, it's on the website, The Rio Church, under teachings. You can download it and check it out if you like, just to follow along. But some of the rhythms that God has put into place, are built into the world he's made. And so the first of those would be the rhythm of the day. And so God has made a daily rhythm. And so if you think about this, one of the rhythms God has not created is technology. We have, and it's a blessing, but it's not always the best. Will you go to the next slide for me, please, manually, or... So if we think about the rhythm of the day, from the very beginning, God created day and night. It's really interesting to even think of the original way that day is described. It begins evening and then day. The daily rhythm, and even for Jews, they begin their day in the evening. So when they celebrate a Sabbath day, a day of rest, it starts Friday evening when the sun goes down. And then it goes through the night and then through the daylight hours and stops the next evening. And so I think that's kind of cool. That kind of messes with me. I don't know about you guys. I think of a day starting in the morning, and you do your work, and then you get a break. But it's kind of fascinating to even think about, and I think it actually captures our life with Christ. We begin in a place of rest. And from that place of rest, we go throughout the following day into our work and activity. But beginning from this place of receiving. And then as we receive, we are able to give. And so the next rhythm would be the weekly rhythm. Actually, let me start with this. I used to teach science, so I cannot resist. But it's amazing some of the simple misunderstandings about the world we live in. So I'm just going to do a little demonstration. This represents the sun, and this represents the earth. In reality, you could fit over 1 million earths inside the sun. So it's not to scale, but you guys get the idea. This is how a day works. In the cosmos is the sun, and in the cosmos is the earth, and the earth is rotating. And as the earth rotates, we come, let's start with evening. We start in the evening, and then we have this period of dark because the sun is hidden from us. And then at the end of that, as we move over here, the sun comes up in the sky, and then we enjoy our daylight hours and then go back into darkness. Okay, so God has established this rhythm. What a beautiful thing. And actually, the rotation of the earth is at just the perfect speed to create a good rhythm for us. And so the earth doesn't get too hot or too cold. There's all kinds of beautiful things built into this rhythm. And so the second rhythm is the weekly rhythm. The weekly rhythm is not seen in the cosmos. The weekly rhythm is because God created for 6 days, and then he rested on the seventh day. And so it's built into the creation. And so as we celebrate a weekly rhythm, it's because of how God created. It's you would never find it in the universe as far as like, oh, the week. The fascinating thing to me is that other cultures have tried other weeks, like 10-day weeks and things, and it doesn't work. Like, it's just the perfect rhythm to work for 6 days and rest for one. I think some of the socialist countries have tried driving people to 9 days and 1 day of rest, and people just can't do it. It's not built into who we are. Okay, the next rhythm would be a monthly rhythm. And so the monthly rhythm is because we have something revolving around us, which is the moon. And so as the moon goes around the earth, for its position in the sky, it takes about 29 and a half days. And so if you think about it, if I was here on earth and I saw the moon here, half of it would be lit up and I would see half of it. If it was over here, I would see all of it lit up because the sun is shining on all of it and I'm here. If it was over here, the part that's lit up is on the backside. I would not see the moon, it would be a new moon. But in 29 and a half days, we get all the cycles of the moon. And so that's another rhythm that God has built into our earth. And then the next one is the yearly rhythm. And the yearly rhythm, as you guys already know all of this, but it's still fun to look at and think about. The yearly rhythm is because we are revolving around the sun, right? So it takes us 365 days. We go a little more circular than that, but you can imagine, to complete one revolution. And the cool thing is, the earth is tilted like this. So it's not straight at the sun, and so we get seasons. So when we're over here, if you live in the northern hemisphere like we do, this would be winter, because we're facing away from the sun, the days are short, and then when we're over here, now we're facing towards the sun, tilted towards the sun, we get long days, nice summer. Okay, and then the other thing I want to add is just really cool, is this time of year, we can't see the stars over there because the sun's blocking them. We see the stars over here, And then when we're over here, we're going to see these stars. And so just by watching the stars, you can tell the cycle of a year. The course of a year changes. And God has built this into the universe. It is our reality. We didn't just like, oh, let's decide 365 days. It's like, no, this is actually the rhythm. The cycles of life are a rhythm. Okay, so historically, and then just one more. That there's also some rhythms, I would call them seasons of life, of our life, through the generations. Even that song that we were singing today and Blaze introed so well, that kind of starting life, and then we go through life with God, and then the end of life, these seasons of life, almost like spring of our life and summer and fall and winter of our life. Okay, so over the course of the Bible, people have used these rhythms. God has instructed people on these rhythms. For example, the daily rhythm, you can see Daniel when he's praying three times a day. And he has this rhythm, three times a day he went and prayed, morning and afternoon and evening, three times every day. Even when they said it was illegal, he said, I don't care. This is the rhythm I will keep. Some other rhythms are, today Jewish people, they read from the Torah twice every day, morning and evening, these daily rhythms. If you think of weekly rhythms historically in the Bible, the Sabbath was required by God. They had to take a day of rest. It was even punishable by death. So 6 days to work, and the seventh day is a day of rest. It must be. It's required. What an amazing thing. You have to rest. That's like un-American. My goodness. How can we get ahead? And monthly rhythms, one of them was a new moon festival where they would do sacrifices, additional sacrifices on the new moon. So they would add some more burnt offerings and sin offerings on the new moon, developing this monthly rhythm. On a yearly cycle, they had these festivals, and all the men were required to meet together at one place three times during the year. They would have to meet for around Passover, and then again for, I'm testing myself, sorry, for the next one and the next festival. But one of them's about right now for the Feast of Tabernacles, or tents, which it developed these rhythms of the year. And there were certain foods that were eaten at certain times. And the cool thing is we kind of have our rhythms. Sorry, it's going to be nighttime. Sun's going out. We kind of have our holidays, and they mostly revolve around what type of candy. So there's like Halloween candy and Christmas candy, Easter candy. You know, it's like different candy. But I really appreciate even developing these rhythms, and each one is intended to remember something. The Sabbath is to remember that God created. The Passover is to remember what God did when he rescued his people from Egypt. And each of these has a specific remembrance. And I think there's a real value in that, to take the time to remember. And the cool thing is, if you guys want to, I don't know that much of it, but to even study how Jesus fulfilled all these different festivals and the way that his life lined up to those. So the Passover, which we celebrate, we've kind of taken over as Easter, celebrates not just that God passed over the Israelite people in Egypt, but that God spared us through Christ, through his blood, which in the same pattern that they put on their door frames, Christ did that. And so God's wrath has passed over us. We are set free. And to stop and remember, Easter's awesome. Stop and remember, Jesus has overcome death. All right, seasons of life. We're going to read Psalm 90. And so if you have a Bible or if you want to pull it up on your phone, I just always think it's good to get in your own part there. So This is a pretty amazing psalm. It's a lament, which means the author is singing this song of like, God, my life, it's a complaint. God, my life is hard. Help me. And so we're going to go through this lament and kind of look at these seasons of life. So here we go. It's on the screen too if you don't have a device or Bible you want to look at it. So here we go. At least feels like I'm doing something with my buttons. Lord, through all the generations, you have been our home. Before the mountains were born, before you gave back to the earth and the world, gave birth to the earth and the world. From beginning to end, you are God. You turn people back to dust, saying, return to dust, you mortals. And what I think this is a really cool place. I just even recommend this in your prayer time. It's cool how the psalm, almost all of them start with, God, I come before you, and you are God. Before the mountains were born, you did this. You are there. You are everlasting. I'm talking to the God of the universe. I acknowledge who you are. So it's saying, okay, God turns our bodies back into dust. We wither beneath your anger. I think we skipped four, sorry. For you a thousand years are as a passing day, as brief as a few night hours. You sweep people away like dreams that disappear. They are like grass that springs up in the morning. In the morning it blooms and flourishes, but by evening it is dry and withered. What an amazing description of our lives. We start this young life, you know, we start to sprout up. And you can see these young people sprouting up. I don't know what's happening. We sprout up, and then we bloom and flourish. And then we start to wither and dry up. And we return back. Our bodies at least return back to the soil. Thankfully, our spirits live on. But this is the reality of that rhythm of life. We wither beneath your anger. We are overwhelmed by your fury. You spread out our sins before you, our secret sins, and you see them all. We live our lives beneath your wrath, ending our years with a groan. Again, this is a lament. This is not intended to be a happy song. This is like, God, life is super hard, and it's just unrelenting and so short. 70 years are given to us. Some even live to 80. But even the best years are filled with pain and trouble. Soon they disappear and we fly away. Who can comprehend the power of your anger? Your wrath is as awesome as the fear you deserve. Teach us to realize the brevity of life so that we may grow in wisdom. So saying, look, I like how the King James says, teach us to number our days aright. Realize, life is short. We have these short seasons, and then it's over. And for God, a day is like 1,000 years. Our life is just, boom, it's gone. And to really make the most of that, and to really realize what it is, and not just go through life as if it will never end. Oh, Lord, come back to us. How long will you delay? Take pity on your servants. Satisfy us each morning with your unfailing love so we may sing for joy to the end of our lives. Give us gladness in proportion to our former misery. Replace the evil years with good. And God does. God brings us through these hard seasons, and even in those, he brings seasons of joy on the other end of those, through those rhythms of life. Some of those seasons are really miserable. Some of them are really hard. And God brings us through those in just a better place. Sometimes it's been called the dark night of the soul. Some of these dark valleys that we walk through, where it's like, what is God doing? Where is God? What is happening? If you've never experienced that, you will. So that's my encouragement for you this morning. But God is in that. Through that darkness, God brings dawn. And he brings it at a new depth, a greater depth than it ever was before. Let us, your servants, see your work again. Yes, God, continue that work. Let our children see your glory. And may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. Bless our work, the work that we engage in for this short life. May our efforts make this world a better place. May our efforts expand God's kingdom here on earth through this little blip that we have of seasons. I'm going to skip these. Sorry, I'm just slightly behind on time. I want to save you guys some time. This is kind of an encouragement I heard when I was younger, and I found it really true. What you sow in your 20s, you will reap in your 40s. And that can probably be said of a lot of other decades as well. But it's kind of slow. The choices you make right now, you're going to enjoy the fruit of those in 10, 20 years. And if your life is really hard right now, part of that might be, I mean, some of that's just circumstances, some of that might be from choices you made 10, 20 years ago. And then the fruit of that is coming out, which doesn't mean we should despair. I think sometimes if we had a little more instant gratification, we might stick with it. It was like, honestly, the choices you make now, I was fortunate to come to Christ just before I was 20. And in my 20s, I made some good choices that weren't always easy. One of those was to wait for the right woman. And the fruit of our marriage now in our 40s is just like, I'm just kind of like enjoying that fruit. And not that our marriage is easy. We got in a fight even this week, you know, it's just like, but the fruit of that, like it just keeps going. And the work that we're doing in our marriage now, I see the fruit of that. But it's not instant, maybe in 10, 20 years. It just keeps going. And so even though the hand of time can sometimes be slow, stick with it. The fruit will come. It will pay off. Sometimes it seems like, man, the people that aren't following God, their lives are working great. Yeah, give it 30 years. I had a really fascinating conversation with my mom, and she was talking about my parents were kind of, I don't know, into kind of the drug scene of the 70s and 60s and stuff, and just have a lot of diverse friends. And now that my mom is getting close to 70, she was just saying a lot of the people that she knew that were really heavy into drugs and alcohol and other addictive choices, they're just not here anymore. I was like, whoa, that's crazy. Just like the fruit of that just slammed them and even shortened their lives. But that fruit is real, and it will come about. So this is your first test question. What activities does God require of us in order for us to be with him?
Love mercy.
All right, I love it. Love mercy, act justly. None of them. He doesn't require any of these rhythms. He doesn't require us to take a Sabbath. He doesn't require us to celebrate festivals. We can be with him because Jesus has fulfilled all the requirements. We just have to trust him. And we can be with God. But, on the other hand, there can still be useful rhythms to grow our walk with God. Not to earn it, but to grow our walk with him. And so, as a church, we do think that there's a role of people and there's a role of God. It's not like we have no role in this relationship. We do have a role in it. And even if you think about Philippians 2, where Paul says, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Like, you have an active part. Continue at it. Work out your salvation. And then right after that, because it's God who works in you to will and to act. Do this because God is doing this. So we have a part in it, but that part is not to earn it. That part is because we received it, and now we get to walk in it and enjoy it. Okay, so one more time. What daily, weekly, monthly, yearly course of life, seasons of life activities do you have to do in order to get to God? None of them. Yeah. Even if you try to be a good jet pilot, it won't actually get you to God. None. No activities are required to get to God. Just trust in the gift of Jesus. He's given you the backstage pass. He has bought it at a high price for you. All right, in Colossians 2, it says, therefore, no one is to act as your judge in regard to food or drink or in respect to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath day, things which are a mere shadow of what is to come. But the substance belongs to Christ. So we're not to judge each other. Some people will tell you this: you have to take a Sabbath starting in the evening to the day. Not anymore. You have to take a Sabbath on Saturday. Nope. You have to pray this many times a day. You don't. There's no judgment in that. But these daily, weekly, monthly, yearly, course of life activities, which ones of those are we permitted to imitate, enjoy, and benefit from? All of them, right? Any of them you want. If they are a blessing to you, I love how it says in Exodus, they must realize that the Sabbath is the Lord's gift to you. It's a gift to you. Take a break during the week. That's a gift to you. Then Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made, to meet the needs of people and not people to meet the requirements of the Sabbath. Okay, so feel free to adapt, experiment, be flexible. There isn't judgment. People have different rhythms here, and we can use those. So the question I have for you is, could some healthy rhythms help us experience the reality of receiving and giving the love of God? I think so. I have just a few recommendations. First, I recommend, I think this is one of the greatest things that was passed on to me, develop a daily rhythm of prayer and input from the Bible. I put input from the Bible because some people prefer to listen to it rather than read it. Develop that rhythm. What is that? How do you find time to pray in a day? How do you find time to get some input from the Bible? Lots of people here start the day with what we call a quiet time. And just set aside a chunk of time with your family or alone. And just, I'm going to take this time, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to read a section. I like to write down a verse from it. I don't always do that. But it just helps me get something out of it. I write it down. Awesome. And I want to grow in some of these. I think it would be cool to have that 3 times a day. Just stop and pray. What a great rhythm. I recommend that you develop a weekly rhythm to actually stop, rest, enjoy, and be with God. Turn it off. And especially as I've become a pastor, I feel like this has been so important to me, and Steve has really helped model that, of like stopping for a day. Look, somebody's going to call, hey, today is I'm not available. I love you. But unless it's an emergency, I'll still be here tomorrow. You'll still be here tomorrow. And to just stop. And especially now as Steve and I, we're mostly employed by the church, but we also, you know, are filling in the gaps with other employment. So we have, you know, few, as well as families, we have these different things going on in our lives. It's really easy to just fill it all up. Man, I could fill up every single day with needs, and I would never have enough to do, enough done, and I would always need more, and I get in this. It's just like, I'm going to stop. I'm going to stop today. I'm going to enjoy today. I'm going to be with God. I'm going to be with my family. And I'm going to rest. And I recommend that. I think that's a great rhythm to develop. I am very much in the process of that. It is not natural for me. I could be a workaholic really easily. It gives me something that I like, but it's good. I would recommend considering some larger time frame rhythms, maybe an extended time with God. That means you just like take an extra day and just call off work and you go for a hike and just spend some time with God. I've appreciated Tom a few times. He's like, hey, Dove, let's go to the mountains and just take a day and be with God. And it's like, okay, for some reason his initiative can get me to actually do that. And we've gone and just sat in the forest and just read and walked and prayed and just had a whole day. It's amazing. I feel like God spoke to me in those days in ways that I never would stop and just listen. Maybe even some celebrations. What kind of rhythms do you develop in your family on a yearly basis just to... Okay, again, none of this is judgment. Do you have to make yearly rhythms? No, you don't. You don't have to do any of them. If it's a gift to you, do it. If it's not a gift to you, don't do it. There's freedom. You won't get kicked off the bus. You're on the bus. You got the pass. What do you want to do? How do you want to walk with God? You want to... Will I let life just suck me dry with all the demands and everything that I don't even have any margin to be with God? Or will I stop? Be like, no, this isn't how I want to live. I'm walking with God. I need some time. What about when life gets interrupted? Man, our seasons get messed up. There's times of sickness. There's times of change. There's days where of these interruptions too. I think God uses those. Don't think those aren't part of the rhythms. Those are part of our rhythms. Can we find God in those? I can be horrible. It's like, kids, today is my day to... I take half a day a week and I work on our kitchen, which has been this crazy remodel project. So Monday afternoons and usually into the night is like work on the kitchen. And so sometimes I can be like, kids, get out of here. And that's, I think they're actually more important than my kitchen. And those interruptions of life, maybe it's someone who just needs you for a season. Those interruptions are really important. And how do we find God in those too? So how can we slow down enough? I want to just throw out a question. I've appreciated Pete Scazzaro's insights on this, but he asks this, what do you currently do or hope to do that nurtures your spirit and fills you with delight? What people, what places, what activities do that? What nurtures your spirit and gives you delight? And feel free, even though we're in church, to think of things that aren't churchy. Like, for me, you know, riding my bike just makes me feel alive. Good, do that. And I want to encourage you guys, on the back there's a bunch of questions. I want to encourage you to take some time and actually ponder some of those. I asked Chris, during the marriage class, I really appreciated Chris and Linda and some of the rhythms that they've kind of implemented into their family. And so I asked Chris, and I twisted his arm, and then I prodded him. No, I'm just kidding. He said that he would be willing to share some of the rhythms that he has and his family has. And so, Chris, if you want to come up and just kind of share some of that, that would be a blessing to us.
All right, good morning. So my name is Chris. Just for context, for those who don't know me or my family is my wife, Linda, and then our 17-year-old daughter, Haley. So in the context of these rhythms, routines, the family are the three of us. So... I'd say probably the rhythm that we do and have been doing the longest is that we do family dinner together pretty much every night. Get around the dining room table, no TV, no phones, and we just have a meal together, share our day. And then after dinner, before people can scatter, then we do a family devotion, just grab a devotional book, read whatever passages from the Bible, answer questions, talk about God. And then after that, we do family prayer together. where each person gives a praise and a prayer request for the day. And then we pray out loud as a family, and then we actually end up praying for the person who's sitting next to us. So we don't pray for ourselves. We pray for each other in the family. That's pretty much a nightly routine that we've done. And it's so much part of our rhythms that when people come visit us, they get sucked into it too. So they're going to pray with us. And then, you know, kind of based on the topic of seasons, when we lived in Korea, we would do a weekly family meeting. We would go to a coffee shop every Sunday evening, and while there, it was kind of a safe place, a neutral place, where we could have like those hard conversations that we didn't have over the week, during the week. And we talk about other things going on too, but we'd pray, bring God into it, have our conversations, pray out of it, and then, you know, it seemed that weeks would go much better when we were doing that during that season of our life. Here at the church, we do weekly small groups and youth group for Haley. And then on a daily basis, I like to work out. So the family, we try together, you know, every day, take a break from the craziness of the world of the day and just get together and spend more time together as a family and work out. Always puts me in a much better mood. So I just think those are some of those examples of those routines that we do. With the craziness of this world really just kind of helps us be intentional to be with God and to be with our families, because that's very important as well. I think that's all I got. Remarks complete. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, thanks, Chris. I appreciate that. I think it's cool how, he was saying, in Korea, they realized, wow, this season is bringing some new challenges. And to set up that, like, let's have a family evening just to plan, reflect, work through things, and let's go somewhere where it's a safe, or it's a neutral. It's not like, this is my house and I run it. You know, it's like, okay, we're here and what's going on? Let's connect. And they don't need that as much now because they're in a different season of life. But to be aware of that and to make that happen, thank you for sharing those, Chris. That's a blessing to me. So because Jesus has opened the door for us to know God, we can walk with him. How do you think this world would be a better place if we all continued to make space to be with God and enjoy him? To intentionally keep those rhythms. How could that be a blessing to this whole world? I'm just going to leave you with that. I want to make two requests, and then the band's going to sing a couple more songs. The first, I want to just ask you to take some time, if you have a chance today, prayerfully see where God would take this in your life. Is he nudging you to make some daily or weekly rhythms happen in your life for your own health and well-being, and also just to really know God? And the second thing I want to ask you is to have a conversation with someone after the service. And so if you don't have to run out, we try to just create a culture where people hang out and get to know each other. I would recommend, find somebody you don't know as well first and talk to them. And then after that, find somebody that you know super well. But if we do that, it just keeps the circle opening. So try to find somebody you don't know as well and just touch base with them. Sometimes that's weird to talk about spiritual things, especially if you don't know somebody very well. But on the other hand, I think it's kind of weird that we come to church and we like have all this awesome worship and we like, you know, get it. This teaching on the Bible, and then as soon as it's over, it's like, hey, are the Cowboys playing today? Hey, what are you doing for lunch? It's like, what? Like, that would be too weird to talk about God. Well, we're in church. Why would that be weird to talk about God? So I want to encourage you even just to have those conversations. Go ahead and ask somebody, like, hey, what kind of rhythms do you have or would you like to have? And that might bless you as you see those and have that conversation. And if you want to talk about football, no judgment. That's totally fine. But I do encourage you to talk to somebody you don't know as well, and then talk to somebody that you do know well, and let's keep that community growing. I'm going to pray, and then the band's going to close us in a couple more songs. God, thank you for the way you've set up the world. Thank you that you allow us to participate in that. Thank you that we get to participate not just in the way the world is, but in your kingdom. In your kingdom where you pour out love and where we get to be a part of bringing love to others. God, I ask that you would bless us as we walk with you, that you would help us to be intentional, not bound up, but in freedom, to be intentional, to love you, and to make rhythms that line up with where you're going and what you're doing. God, what would you have for us, even this week? What would you have for me? In Jesus' name, amen.